To the Final Bell is back for another week, the official Geelong Cats podcast, and I'm joined by, well, one member of our team. Scotty Gallen is professional enough and committed enough to be here in bye week. Scotty, welcome to you.
Thank you, Cameron. Yeah, well, you can explain what else has happened.
Our other man, Zach Toohey, who is normally here with us, he's not here. It's a little bit chilly for him. It's got a little bit hard come the middle of
but
the year.
But his skin isn't really good for the sun. No. So why is he north on his speedos?
I think he's in Noosa.
That's how Intel says that.
All the players have scattered. They all go on a little break. I think the club's given them a four-day break. And then they've all got to reconvene back in the Gold Coast for a little training camp.
Yeah, no, it's interesting strategy.
It's very nice. Unfortunately, not a great result on the weekend. Geelong going down to Richmond. It was a good game of footy, a very wet game of football, but two teams really going hammer and tongs at it. Unfortunately, the last quarter, the Tigers just broke away. So that was the only loss of the weekend, which was a good thing. The VFL and VFLW stood strong. Fifth on the ladder, they head into the bye week. The Cats, the senior team, 8-5. The top three, Richmond, West Coast, Sydney, have just opened up a little break, two games clear, and then fourth to ninth, only one game separates them with the Cats, as I mentioned, sitting in fifth place on the ladder. We will have the VFL, we will have the VFLW, we'll have your questions. No guests today, Scotty. No one wants to come along and talk to us in bye week. So we are going to do a mid-season review. I'm going to get, you know what I want you to work on?
Yes.
Your best 22. Who's going to slot in once everyone's back? You got to work.
You're saying everyone's going to be fit.
Everybody's
anyone
going to
on
be
the
fit.
List. Asap from Asava.
Asava, Aaron Black out as well. All those other blokes.
What about
with
your mate Cockatoo?
He'll be back.
How does he qualify?
He'll be back. Of course he'll qualify.
All right.
Come on, Scotty.
I'll start.
We're going to do a best 22. We're going to do a few other things in our review a little bit later on. But as we like to do, let's get into start, stop, and keep. Scotty, start. You're the journo who knows everything that's going on and you're talking to all the people here at the footy club. Start getting some players back in the team. Can you tell us how these players, these injured players, are tracking at the moment? So, just quickly, Scotty Selwood, Lockie Henderson, Harry Taylor, Cam Guthrie all played VFL on the weekend. We'll talk to Angus Kramer about how they went in a second. Dan Menzel. When are we going to see him?
Well, the coach has thrown his name up out of nowhere, believes he'll train properly this coming week, and hinted at a VFL return the following week. So we're talking 2 weeks suddenly.
Oh, that's exciting.
So we're going from near death, can't walk, can't leave his house, to running, which was a couple of weeks ago. So forward line problems, there's hope on the horizon.
Didn't I hear some of your journalist mates saying that he was done for the season and he was finished?
I believe you're now a member of the Journalism Fraternity. Yeah, there was a theory but Menz will be back within 2 to 3 weeks.
What about my man, Nakia Cockatoo?
Well, his identity is unknown. His status is unknown. We were told he was playing VFL a month ago. He's been unsighted.
I've heard nearing return, though.
These words,
nearing return.
Neil Baum doesn't live at this club anymore. But if he was here, Nakia, God love him, is in the unknown basket still. He's not getting talked about.
I think he'll start being tested and pushed a little bit along. And
is he training? Is he getting in shorts and sneakers? Can you confirm that or not?
He is doing some training. it may not be total training just yet, but nearing return. Mark my words, Scotty.
All right, I've written that down. So I wouldn't be too enthralled with him. The others are more focused at the moment.
Okay. Lincoln McCarthy, unfortunately, out of the weekend's game.
2 to 3 weeks. Given his history, there'll be no rushing him back.
He can't get any continuity. He's
had
a ripper.
Soreness, and then it goes the next week. It's not a good tale for him.
No. And, well, fingers crossed, it's only a simple 2 to 3 week and they can get him back playing. All right, stop and keep. We're going to talk the weekend's game because I saw at the MCG on Sunday afternoon a good Geelong team that went with the reigning premiers and the premiership favourites for 3 and a bit quarters and played some good football. But in the end, like Richmond's done so many times this season and last season, especially on the MCG, has just finally broken a team. Late in the game, kicked away. In the end, it was a reasonably comfortable win on the scoreboard. What does Geelong need to do? Or what do they need to keep doing but do better to jump up into that really top bracket that where Richmond sits right now. We're just below that. How do we get there, Scotty?
Well, it's skill errors and it was inexperience in the team. We've spoken about that. So these young players haven't been on the big, big stage. And this was Sunday afternoon. Yes, tricky conditions against a pressure team that lives and eats pressure. So I think they got an insight into where they have to get to. So if I'm a Cats person walking away frustrated, yes, but it told me, and I reckon it'll tell Richmond, Geelong's not that far away from us. There was a bit of a gap last year, and we turned it up and we got them. There was a couple of turnovers. You could point fingers at some players, but that's just young guys not handling the pressure. Will they be better for the experience? I say yes.
I say yes too. And I wonder if structurally the coaches tried something on the weekend because clearances haven't been overly pretty for the Cats this
suddenly
year.
It was...
But Richmond's clearances haven't been great either. We dominated them in clearances. Centre clearances were unbelievable.
Which has never happened in recent times.
Brilliant. So maybe we tried something different at clearances, but where we cost ourselves, where the Cats cost themselves, was the loose Richmond player, whether it was Nick Floston or Rance. Alex Rance down back, just completely dominated and cut everything off intercept marks. So I wonder if learning from this, and I think they play each other again in, 6 weeks' time, Geelong and Richmond. Learning from this is, okay, are Geelong prepared to perhaps break even at clearances next time around, but make sure that Floston and Rance can't come off and be spare and be the intercept marks? And so therefore, when Geelong gets the forward entries, they're not just going to be chopped off simply and then Richmond can counter-attack and score from there. So I think the learning from Sunday's game will be really important. And over the next 5 or 6 weeks, a better plan is put in place to handle the influence that Floston and Rance and these types of players can have.
I ask you this question. My philosophy is I'd man that loose guy up. As soon as it's obvious Floston is, hang on, he's a factor, play 7-man forward line. It takes away Richmond's weapon. So some coaches do it, some take a while to do it. I'd man him up because you got Tom Hawkins playing on a first gamer further down the track if you get him off Rance. Like, that was working perfectly. They isolated Rance, got him out of the way in the first half. Hawk against the kid, you get the results.
It's, I suppose it goes with their belief in, okay, the back six have gelled together well, but have also had to be protected a little bit with the way they move the ball, with perhaps the numbers they're using in different parts of the ground, just to add a little layer of protection while they come together as a group. As they move forward into the season now, I'm with you. I think as the belief grows, be prepared to expose your back line a little bit.
One-on-one defending.
And through the middle with your clearances to not let a Floston and a Rance have that sort of influence on a game of football, because they were the difference. I, working on 3AW on Sunday, had to do the votes at the end of the game. I gave Floston the 5 votes because he just chopped everything off. And when the game was there to be won, he was the man. Alex Rance is always good at doing that sort of thing. So I think it'll be a different story come next time they play each other.
But Richmond are the best little tap-on surge team, aren't they?
Yeah, they just are.
It's
they
a
are.
Fingernail, a Shane Edwards tap, this, and then Martin will appear out of nowhere. Surge. They're the great surge tap-on team in the comp.
Our man, Zach Tui, I was dying to ask him about this, the foot race with Jason Castagna that led to the goal, where the old boy just couldn't quite close that gap. That all started from Shane Edwards at Geelong's half forward line. Geelong was just about to kick inside 50 again. Scores were very, very close. Shane Edwards gets the little smother in, gets it to a teammate, and all of a sudden the ground's open. It's a foot race. Castagna kicks that good soccer goal off the ground. It started from exactly what you're talking about with Shane Edwards. What about our skill errors? Simply Richmond's pressure?
Oh, it's Richmond's pressure, definitely.
A little bit of youth and just understanding and feeling that fatigue as well, but feeling that moment and just not quite being able to execute.
Yeah, I think it's a combination, no doubt, because they haven't had... Richmond are different to any other team. It's an obvious statement because they won the flag, but their pressure and perceived pressure. MCG, young guys trying to find a way. They make errors. You can live with that as long as they learn. In 6 weeks' time, you don't want Collar making the same mistake. You know what I mean? They have to learn. If they can't learn, then you've got trouble. But putting them in that situation is the best thing for them.
They're going to have to learn quick too, not just for that game against Richmond. Bye, obviously, on the weekend. Yes. Dogs at Etihad Stadium, which should win. Swans at the SCG on Thursday night. Crows at Adelaide Oval on Thursday night. Melbourne at GMHBA Stadium on a Saturday night. It's a tough run, and then you've still got the Tigers to come
after that.
So they're going to have to learn to be able to absorb heat, execute the skill, building towards the finals.
And you got to integrate these experienced players who you can't expect to come in. They're going to have to a little bit of feeling out. I mean, a lot of them haven't played footy at all. So they've got to gradually get the team where they want it in 3 months' time. But it's going to be interesting.
And don't worry, Nakia Cockatoo will be part of that eventually. Scotty,
if he's anywhere out there, he can be a guest. If anyone's cited him, please get Nakia.
Stop it.
Okay.
We've got to take a break. I did walk away from the MCG disappointed that the Cats hadn't won, but not completely down. No. I thought 3 1/4 quarters with the best team in the competition. Yep. Next time around, 3 1/2, 3 3/4 quarters with the best team in the competition.
With a better side in. Absolutely.
Finals time is when we've seen the last 2 years you've got to be playing your absolute best football.
Because the MCG thing doesn't worry me. I don't believe Geelong don't play well at the G.
Tigers are unbeatable.
Yeah,
well, I
know, but they're going to lose eventually. Don't get obsessed by the G factor.
Okay. Cross that one off the list. We'll take a break. Angus Kramer's up next. We're going to talk VFLW with a new special guest with VFLW.
Excellent.
I'll introduce her in a second. Your question's coming up. And as I said, later on, no guest, but we're going to do a mid-season review. Stay with us.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, 3 in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG 3 membership. You get entry to any 3 of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36. Head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back. It's To The Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast, minus Zach Tui. I am with Scotty Gallen, though, as we are every week going through all things Cats, all things AFL. We're going to have your questions in just a second, but let's get to the VFL. Angus Kramer joins us every single week and talks how the VFL went on the weekend and who's perhaps up for senior selection. Angus, welcome. Have you thought out from the game on the weekend? It was played at Williamstown against Port Melbourne. A good win by the VFL Geelong Cats, but it was freezing. Tough conditions.
Very freezing. Not for me. I was sitting up in the function room up there at Williamstown, which is quite nice. Hello. Usually they throw me outside, but I snuck up there because it was too cold. But if anyone saw the game on TV on Saturday or Sunday, they would have seen how cold it is out at Williamstown, which is a trait of the ground and testament to us how we played it, to how we got the win. I mean, we kicked 10-9 in comparison to Port Melbourne's 6-19. So we obviously played the conditions a little bit better in front of goal, and that was a big factor in the win.
What happened in the...
I saw a couple of times the ball got kicked up, and it was almost going backwards.
I reset. Was it the third quarter they kicked 13 points or something?
Yeah, 3-13. We were up 6 goals
That's
at half time,
impressive.
And they put the cue in the rack, and Port Melbourne came strongly but kicked 3-13, just were missing everything. Set shots, just didn't know how to kick them.
I'll tell you one bloke who did know how to kick them and has kicked them in the last couple of weeks, Quinton Narkle.
Oh, my man, don't jump on.
Wow, I'm jumping on big time. He's just a highlight reel.
I think everyone's jumping on. It was a bit of an unknown commodity. I mean, he spent the year out and then didn't get much exposure, and then everyone saw that goal that he kicked down here last week that Zach was raving about, and then we got a Channel 7 game and everyone's on board now. So it's not just you two on the bandwagon. I think everyone's jumping on.
So he's the X factor, given Nakia has his issues, we might be looking for.
Well, yeah, considering Nakia's never coming back in your book, Narkle might fill that role quite well.
Start being optimistic, Scott.
No, I'm going with Quinton. He's my man.
He shows similar traits in terms of strength and agility and speed. If anyone saw that goal where he fended off the opponent on the weekend, continuous efforts over and over again, gets the ball and kicks some pretty magical goals. He's quite a talent, and he'd be Nice addition to the AFL side, I think.
I'm not sure I'm going to get him over the line for the next game because Reece Stanley, very good on the weekend in the ruck. Well, but Ryan Abbott had 65 hit-outs on the weekend.
Let's break down the campaigns. I was on JJ. What happens? Gets in. You're on your man Abbott. Can't get a game. The Irishman's on his mate O'Connor. Can't. He gets delit, downgraded, didn't he? He's back to the rookie or something. So Ryan Abbott had what? 65
hit-outs, yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
That's pretty good.
That is very good. But let's get to the important one. We touched on before about players coming back. One by one, let's go. Scotty Selwood, how'd he go?
19 touches, ran through the middle, bit off half back. Wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad. Oh, I like played it. A whole game? Or...
Yeah, so this week, the three who came back last week were able to complete the full game. Harry, who was in his first game back, only played the three quarters. And for the likes of Harry and Hendo, the conditions probably weren't ideal for them.
Where did Harold play?
Harry played down back and a little bit up forward, kicked his first ever VFL goal, and no one got around him. He was going for a massive celebration. It's quite a nice goal, left foot snap, but no one was happy to celebrate with
so
him.
So where'd Hendo play?
Down back.
Oh, the intrigue.
And Cam Guthrie. Did they play well? Harry Taylor, Hendo?
Yeah, pretty good. Obviously, like, the conditions weren't ideal. Harry even wore long sleeves for the first time ever, I think. He didn't look great. But, they were all right. And Cam Guthrie... coming off half back, sort of through a wing, 24 touches. He was pretty solid, saw a lot of the ball.
And he played a whole game.
And played a full game. Yeah, those three all played a full game. Still a bit rusty coming back. I mean, they had extended spells out, but I'm sure they'll get better.
Excuse my ignorance here. Does the VFL have a bye at the same time as the AFL?
We do. So they miss this week. Everyone's got the week off. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, those players probably want to play, don't they? To put their name up for selection. For the Western Bulldogs game.
I'd say they'd probably like to have a game so they could be the sole feature on the weekend and get everyone watching. But, yeah, I think some of them would be enjoying the bye, but especially the guys who just came back, they're probably wanting to play a bit more footy.
So if you were in match committee with Chris Scott, out of the guys you've watched over the last 2 or 3 weeks, who would you throw up first?
Narkle would be the first one to throw up.
You'd say Kev Guthrie or something.
I think Narkle deserves a crack for what he's shown. He brings something different to the table. I think he'd be
pretty good. Cameron.
And then, depending how the back line's going to work, depends what team we play. The Bulldogs tend to play a pretty tall forward line, so if they have all their tools in, you might swing a Henderson or Taylor back there as well.
Ooh, exciting. Depth. They're coming back. Angus, thank you very much for braving those conditions at Williamstown Oval, even though you were hiding away in the function room.
At least he went. I think we've got to acknowledge that every week.
That is a positive.
I don't think we do have to acknowledge that every week. I think the first week was
enough. Some of our listeners may have forgotten that you gave a full report of round one and you weren't actually there.
He didn't attend it because he went to his 21st. How dare he do that?
Yeah, I'll never forget that one.
Angus, thank you very much. We're going to talk VFLW in a second. One player we forgot to mention there, George Horland-Smith, listed as best on ground. Quentin Narkle was second best. Brian Myers, who's another one to watch, was third best. Tommy Atkins and James Cheetahs, and Ryan Abbott in the best for the Cats.
They just put him in every week.
With the three goals and Tommy Atkins kicking the two goals. We've discussed him before about hopefully he does get an opportunity at some stage on an AFL list or on an AFL rookie list. But let's talk some VFLW, and it's a great pleasure to welcome for the first time to the podcast, Catherine Cavant. Catherine, welcome to you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, don't be nervous because Scotty's, as you can tell, a fairly negative sort of guy. He doesn't want Cockatoo to ever play again, but we'll be as positive as we can
I love the women's game.
Good win against Darabin, who are a good team. I think fourth or fifth on the ladder coming into the game, but a good win by the girls.
Yeah, fantastic. They're going really well. 5 wins now, 1 draw this season, so undefeated to sit on top of the ladder. Always great playing here at home, GMHBA Stadium. We had a great crowd and, did really well. Kicked the first goal of the game. We're always in front. It was just a fantastic day.
Now, Darabin have historically been a force in this competition, but this year they've struggled a bit. Like, Daisy Pearce isn't playing. But have they got a few other Melbourne girls in there?
There's a few. We actually were up against Astra O'Connor, who's Bulldogs coming to Geelong for AFLW. So there are a few there, but I think that it just shows with the development of the Geelong side. Mm. A lot of AFLW girls are starting to play. We had Anna Teague, Erin Hall. They came back in for their first game. So I think we're just doing really well with kind of integrating those players into the side. And it's just, really paying off.
Did Hannah Mountie play?
We did. Yes, she did. So Anna Teague in her first game matched up on her and did a really great job. So kept Hannah Mountie goalless. And Anna was named in our best. So she did a really good job on her.
Scotty, I don't know if you saw the best players for the Cats. Your girl, Rocky, was in the best players again.
All the time. She turns up, she's best on.
I believe may have a little bit of a physical altercation, perhaps, with one of the Darabin girls.
A bit of friendly fire. There was a time where Lily Mitham was holding the ball and Rocky did go in and clean her up a bit, all in good fairness. But I think a little bit of just saying, look, we're not on the same side anymore, obviously with Rocky coming over to Geelong. So maybe a little bit of a preview of what's up for the next AFLW season.
So message to Lil that she should be in the blue and white hoops.
How was her return to her old stomping ground, Lily?
She played well. She got, I think, about 20 disposals or so. But look, it was good to see her back. Obviously, it would have been nice to have her in the blue and white hoops. But Rocky let her know kind of who was there.
So we're going to set a world record. Are we going to be undefeated the whole year, the way this is going? We've had a draw, haven't we?
One draw. So we drew against Collingwood in our second match, I believe. But yeah, they're really, really flying at the moment. Doing a good job. I think in a couple of weeks' time, we play Northern Territory up in Darwin.
Oh, yes.
That will be a very good test. They've got quite a few Adelaide AFLW players in their side. But obviously, it's just a really even competition. We've had a couple of really close matches as well. Our match before this one against Melbourne Uni, we were behind the whole match, won in the last 3 minutes. So just a really exciting time at the moment.
There's one worrying sign, Cameron.
What's that, Scott?
Our girl, Darby, normally kicks all the goals. Missing.
Where was Kate?
Kate, I think she might have been out, maybe a little bit of a finger injury. I don't think they're too worried, but look, we did a great job without her. Erin Hoare coming back in played a really great target in the forward line. We had Mia Ray Clifford, she kicked two of our goals, so she's having a fantastic season, kind of showing her AFLW experience and leadership. But yeah, I think we're just a very versatile side and we can rotate players through.
Great start to the year by the girls, as Catherine said. 5 wins, 1 draw. Sitting on top of the ladder nicely. Bye this week. The entire club's got a bye, so everyone can just relax.
I got a park easily today.
Yeah, it was very, very empty here at the football club. Catherine, thank you for joining. I reckon Catherine gave us a lot more than what Hoodie does.
No disrespect to Hoodie.
Yeah,
it's
I think
terrible.
We might invite Catherine back each
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
All right, time for some questions. Heading into the bye week, I'm sure there's some very important questions out there. As we always say, please jump on all the social media outlets and let us know what you want to know. We'll attempt to answer them. And unfortunately, Zach's not here to answer any.
I was going
to
do an Irish accent then, but I won't even try.
Well, not speaking of Irish, this is from the UK. I nearly got a little bit confused here. It was great. We've got some international listeners. Tim Pigram from the UK has sent in, not for the first time, in tricky conditions, an opposing team seems to kick the ball off the ground, soccer style, from congestion to break away more than the Cats do. Any merit to this tactic? It probably comes back to the point that you made earlier about
forward momentum.
Yeah, and Richmond's ability just instead of taking possession to tap the ball. I think Josh Caddy did a really smart one on the weekend.
Jack Rewell did. They seem ingrained as part of their mindset is push forward at all costs. And then wet weather, it's soccer. Whereas a team like Geelong, I think, want to back their skills in, which is fine. You know, hold the ball, get the right option. But I like the Richmond live off the manic pressure.
Yep.
They
want the ball.
What's
in
that crazy ball you call when you kick a
kamikaze?
Yeah, they want the ball
in a constant, or the game in a constant state of chaos.
Mm.
So they can bring
the heat. Back themselves in and their system. So I agree. Geelong, there's no reason why they shouldn't adapt that, but Richmond clearly are the best at it.
And I wonder too, and this is not for Geelong necessarily, but across the competition, some players are guilty of wanting to take possession of it to get a possession as opposed to just tapping the ball on or knocking it out.
Says a lot about mindset. I agree with that.
Hawthorn, during their brilliant years, they won the 3 premierships in a row, they were outstanding at it. They didn't care about grabbing a possession, they knew it was more advantageous to get the ball out into some space. So great question, Tim. I think there's absolute merit in that one. Thank you for your question. Xavier O'Donnell asks, hey guys, filthy I missed the questions last week. A little crying emoji there.
Oh, so good.
We're stirring up some passions here, Scotty. With the heavily contested game style in the AFL now, how much work goes into clearances, both pre-season and midweek during the year? It was fantastic on Sunday. Xavier, I would say the answer to that is a lot.
Well, they watch a lot of video.
A lot of video, a lot of knowing where you have to stand and structure-wise around stoppages, which isn't necessarily completely a good thing because some players think, all I've got to focus on right now is standing in a certain position and running a certain pattern. Yes, that is important, but then you want them to know where they've got to be, but then still be relaxed enough to play an instinct. The ball comes in their area. Go and win the ball, or go and receive a handball, or go and lay a tackle, whatever it might be.
Explain how you used to set it up in your heyday. You were captain, you were a midfielder. You had some wonderful players, but you yell out. Explain how it happens on the ground.
Communication is really important in the stoppages, and this is why they train it so much, Xavier, is because it happens so quickly. The ball gets thrown up so quickly or thrown in so quickly, so it's got to become almost instinctive. But the communication is knowing who's going to be the go-to, what we'd call the primary, which is the bloke.
Do you have code words?
Calls for hit zones and who is the primary, who's the secondary. Again, the secondary is the person who would be trying to get into the opposition's hit zone. So that'd be all the videos you'd watch on the opposition during the week, all the edits. They're not videos anymore. More than likely where they're going to try and hit it and who they're going to try and hit it to. So the secondary gets into their hit zone. Primary's trying to get it off our ruckman. There'd be different names to this now, but you'd have a swing man who can go either way, or if there's a run with roll happening, he may be on the opposition's best player. You'd have the wingman playing almost a sweeping type role, but sometimes they push wingmen into the contest, so therefore you want somebody else playing the protection role. You've got to cover the corridor. You might have a forward coming up, a fourth forward coming up, a fifth forward coming up, a sixth forward coming up.
This all happens in 2 seconds time.
Exactly. So that's why it's trained so often to get it to become instinctive, so you end up kind of where you need to be. But then you can actually just play football as well.
What changed for Geelong on Sunday compared to how bad they'd been previous weeks?
I saw a greater movement and proactive approach, but I'm not talking about just flashing through the contest. No. It was just a better balance around the
same
contest.
Personnel. They put the big three into the start again. Like they didn't change personnel as such. It was just system working better.
No, and I think perhaps, and this is hard to pick up at times, but they may have thrown an extra number around it at times just to give them an advantage there. All right, last question, Scotty, before we've got to take a break. We want to do this mid-season review. Paul sends in, Reece Stanley seems to have responded to the criticism against two A-grade rucks in the last 2 weeks. Is your man Abbott now a missed opportunity? Or is this an opportunity to play him alongside Stanley and leave Buzzer out?
Well, they left Buzzer out because of conditions, went with Parsons. Yes.
I would say,
I have an awful feeling they missed the opportunity on your man.
No, I still think the ruck position is up for grabs.
Oh, it is.
Stanley has got it right now and he's holding on to it right now.
But playing an unknown debutante in the second half of the season.
I still think he gets one game before the end of the season.
But you read out that draw.
Yeah, true.
Might be in the next half.
Zach Smith has played some brilliant football at AFL level.
One off, and then he can't back it up.
But then he drops off. Reece Stanley's played some brilliant football at AFL level.
But then he drops off.
So that's still the lingering question.
When they were both at their lowest about 3 weeks ago, and now your man had 87 hitouts. They didn't pick him.
Right now, Reece Stanley has grabbed a hold of it for a couple of weeks.
He's had two in a row.
He needs to make sure he never lets go of it and just plays great football every single week.
At least when they play Richmond, they know, because Dan Kervis has one out, they know Stanley knows and has good confidence against Dan Kervis. That's a big positive from Sunday.
Big tick, absolutely. I think Ryan Abbott can only do what he's doing and playing great footy in the VFL. Keep putting his name up there. We've got to take a break, Scotty. We could keep talking about that all day, but we won't. We're going to do the review. As I said, I'm going to put it on you after this break. The best 22. I want to talk Kaji Greaves, top five right now to this point in the season. A couple of other little ideas I've got I'm going to throw at you. We're going to review the season heading into the bye. Let's take a break.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
All right, Scotty, review time.
Yes, I'm ready.
The Cats are heading into a bye week. Everyone's holidaying in Queensland.
Except us.
Zach Tui's not here. His commitment has come into question.
He's got coconut oil on as we speak.
Tanning up, you reckon?
I reckon he's attempting it.
Yeah, okay. That beautiful Irish skin.
Yep.
Okay. Let's just picture that for a second, shall we? We're here. We're going to review the first half of the season. We're also going to look forward. We're going to do a little bit of crystal balling coming up to the finals in the second half of the year. I'm going to start off.
Okay.
Now, we have not. I just want to flag this for the listeners out there. We've done our own best 22s, Kaji Greaves top five. We have not discussed them amongst each other. So if they do end up exactly the same, it's pure coincidence. If they're not, we're going to have a blue about it.
Stop looking at my sheet, go.
I love fighting against Scotty anytime I can. Kaji Greaves medal, top five to this point in the season, from first to fifth, fire away.
Tom Stewart leading.
Agreed.
Mark Blitzavs second.
Ooh, okay. Don't have him in the top five.
Have you been watching? Okay. Now, we're in the order of 3, 4, 5, I think it's very close. There's half a vote in between.
Yep.
Joel Selwood, Patrick Dangerfield, and Tim Kelly.
Okay. I like where your head's at. I reckon Mark Blitzavs, not
so much.
He's
been the best player since he went to centre-half back in round three in the country.
Oh, I think he got going a little bit after round three.
Yeah.
He's
got about 10 good weeks under his belt.
Oh, no, I'm just saying he's slipped to sixth or seventh for me. Tom Stewart at number one, with you. I've got Selwood at two. Selwood's season is still remarkably consistent, and don't judge him on his ridiculously high standards. The bloke gets 30 touches and kicks a goal pretty much every week, along with 9,000 tackles and inspirational moments.
You know I love him more than any man.
I've got Ablett at three.
Gazook.
G. Ablett at three.
He didn't play for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
He didn't get a kick for two of those, maybe.
Melbourne he was best on.
He's got a couple of best on.
Hawthorn he was pretty much best on.
How many rounds have he played?
He's had 35 and kicked goals.
But in the cards, if you don't play, that's ambitious for
you. Well, you know their rules is. So whatever.
They drop off three
worst games. So listen, I've got him sitting there.
Wow.
I've got Dangerfield
there
as well. And I've got Tom Hawkins. Now, before you jump on me, and Tom Hawkins now.
The phones are lighting up already.
Now has 6 consecutive games of 3 goals or more.
And he's good possessions, I agree.
Career best in possessions, career best in inside 50s, career best in so many areas.
I throw this
He has embraced a different way of playing, almost Jack Riewoldt-like last year, where he is playing a multitude of roles, even went in the ruck for a bit.
Let me throw this at you.
I think he's harshly judged, Tom Hawkins.
North Melbourne game, I award him 2 votes. I thought he was outstanding.
Yes, yep.
Coach's votes, fresh air. They found about 25 other blokes. I fear the people voting on this award aren't showing Tom Hawk love.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair call.
So Kelly.
I've got Tim Kelly at 6, Blitzarves.
Another one. How many at 6 you got?
No, Kelly and Blitzarves just outside the top 5. Did you know, speaking of the Coaches Award,
yes,
Geelong only has 1 player inside the top 20 in the Coaches Award voting, and that is Gary Ablett at 19th. So, team sitting 5th on the ladder.
That's a good sign.
It's a good sign because there's a lot of improvement. Now, we will get a little bit of feedback about those top fives, especially me, considering Blitzarve slipped out there. I think he's coming with a bullet, by the way. I think he's going to fly past.
Beep, beep. Are you reversing back
over? No.
We need sound
these
effects.
These have all had very good years. Speaking of the improvement.
Yes.
Which player? Where does the improvement come from? from the Cats for in the second half of the year to go on and win the premiership and the ultimate. Who has to lift?
So is lift, I should have asked you this off air, is it a returning injured player or is it a current player who has to go to another level?
Current player going to another level. There'll be improvement if those injured players come back and get back their best form. Whose first half of the year has been down slightly on what they could be?
Mitch Duncan. Superstar.
First name I had on the list as well.
Rightfully should be called in the big four, because it is a big four with him. I think he's that good. And then with Kelly coming in, they've got a big five. They all need to be up and running. Mitch has been a bit up and down, a bit haphazard. When he's on, he's the best kick in the team. Yep. So I need him, we need him, Geelong needs him to go to the level he's shown. That's all.
Yep.
He doesn't have to be even better.
Last year's form of Mitch Duncan sends Geelong to another level.
Exactly. With the help he's got now with Gaz and Kelly, absolutely. He gets back to that, they're a different outfit.
Who else? Give me one more.
Well, we spoke about the Ruckman. If Reece Stanley or a Ruckman puts in 8 solid weeks of consistent high-level football, Geelong are a premiership chance.
Agreed. I had that written down as well. I'm going to throw one more at you. This might seem harsh, considering I've
got him... You mentioned Nekiah Cockatoo.
Considering I've got him sitting fourth in the best and fairest right now. But if he can get back to his...
Patrick.
...near standard level, Patrick Dangerfield.
I think Patrick suffered from an injury pre-season that he...
Agreed.
And he's played through, because that's who he is. Then the forward and midfield, it's all a bit skew-if a little bit. I agree.
If Dangerfield and Duncan go back to either last season's form or at least somewhere near it, then look out. Then it's time, Cats fans, to get really excited. Yeah, I just reckon just a little bit off. And he's been playing differently sometimes, a lot more deep.
It's not all, it's a bit circumstances, but I agree.
But those two can really drive the team into this second half of the year, into finals. And I agree with you on the ruck rule. Best young player to this point of the season. Now, criteria for a young player is first 2 years.
Well, unfortunately, it's obvious given where Kaji Greve medalist is a candidate.
Tom Stewart?
Yeah. But I put...
Tim Kelly?
Right on his coattails.
Jack Henry?
Third. Okay. Very good. But Kelly, we didn't know. We knew about Stewart because we'd seen it. And then second year Blues, what's going to happen? He's gone to another level. Tick. We never heard of Kelly. We didn't know he existed. And then he saw him one preseason game, went, oh, he's nice. He lit up the competition the first month. He's a seriously good player, so very close.
And I'm going to throw in one. I know it doesn't fit into the first 2 year criteria, but
you can't first change the rules.
Cunico.
Oh, yeah.
Coming hard, but I know that's not his first 2 years, which leads us to our best 22. Now, this is going to be difficult because we are going to squeeze some people out here.
Bear with us.
I'm going to do it. Groupings, first of all, because I'm going to make this as less complicated as possible for our listeners. 6 forwards. Scotty, fire away.
Oh, the hardest one.
6 forwards.
Parfit. What did BT call him?
Parfit.
Now, I've given away with the tall forward option. So Wiley Buzzer misses because Asava would be in, obviously.
Yeah.
Sam Menegola.
You've got him?
Yes.
So Parfit, Menegola.
Daniel Menzel.
Menzel, yes. Now, this is assuming everyone is fit and fine except for Asava and Aaron Black and those who've got long-term injuries.
Tom Hawkins at full forward.
Yes.
Jordan Cunico running,
He's not a forward.
Well, he can't fit in the midfield. So he's a high half forward.
He has to play in the midfield.
He's a high half forward in the new terminology. And then the other forward pocket is a complete mystery to me. Link McCarthy, I'm not putting in because of his injury-prone ways, and he's been missed too much footy.
Wow.
Fogarty, I like, but a bit up and down.
Who have you got?
Quinton Knuckle. I think he'll come of age in the next 3 months.
Listen, I hope you're right. And he'll be talking there. About...
An untried player.
Untried player coming in, exploding into the second half of the year. Past Gregson, past McCarthy, past Fogarty.
JJ, Fogarty. My man.
JJ. Okay, righto. Well, I'm with you on Hawkins, Menzel, Parfitt, Menegola. I've got McCarthy in there. McCarthy...
Didn't play for a year, came back injured, played one game.
Assuming he comes back from his hammy, fine. He'll be taking grabs. He kicks goals. He puts huge pressure
on. I'll give you that.
And I've got Tim Kelly in the forward line as a rotation of Kelly.
Like I had Cunico as a rotational.
No, but Cunico will never go there. He plays on a wing full stop. But a Kelly, Ablett, Dangerfield.
Okay, I agree with that.
So I've just got my resting gun midfielder there as well. Six mids.
Mitch Duncan, Joel Selwood, Tim Kelly.
Duncan, Selwood.
Kelly,
yeah.
Stanley, Dangerfield, Ablett. It's pretty easy unless you've got a different ruck option for me.
No, between our sixes then, I've got Cunico in the midfield and Kelly forward. You've got Cunico forward, which is just completely ridiculous, and Kelly in the midfield.
High half forward. High half.
Okay, so mids are, strong. Six backs.
Jed Buse, Mark Blitzavs, Kolodeshny, Stewart, Harry Taylor, Zach Tui.
Oh, now, as I said before, I promise our listeners we have not compared. That is my exact back six as well.
Ah. I thought you'd go with your young mate you love.
Jack Henry.
Yes.
I've decided to go with the champ,
the
old champ, Harry Taylor, just into the back half of the year, assuming he gets back to his best form and his body does hold up okay. I think he still has the right to display he can get back to that form.
I agree with that.
He's back in there. As good as Henry's been. Does that mean you've tipped Henry out of the team completely, or have you got him on the pine?
I have him on the pine.
You have him?
Okay, yes, good. He's so on the interchange.
Who is your interchange? Four places, please, Scott.
Scott Selwood's on the interchange.
Yeah.
Cameron Guthrie's on the interchange.
Yeah. Henry's on the interchange.
Yeah, Henry, Scott Selwood, Guthrie. Now, the fourth spot is much contention. Jordan Murdoch's a regular senior player, hasn't made it yet. Cockatoo, you would have
him. He is in.
I'm not convinced I can put him in there. Fogarty.
Okay. No Gregson?
No Gregson.
No Henderson?
No. We can't have Jack Henry and Henderson, in my opinion.
Henderson is the unknown, isn't it? Because if he gets back playing his best possible football, and I'm talking
about don't know where he
best
plays.
Standard, he potentially pushes Henry out.
I'd love to be able to say he can play forward, but it's a long time ago when he played forward.
That is true. I've got him off in another group of the unknowns.
So what's your bench?
I've got, Scott Selwood, Jack Henry, Cameron Guthrie, Nakia Cockatoo. Don't laugh at if Nakia Cockatoo, his body eventually holds up.
Say what you told me off air.
He will be doing things that Patrick Dangerfield does in games. He will rip it out of a contest. He will explode past four blokes. We've seen him do it.
Once.
We've seen him do it plenty of times. He even tore his hammy doing one, kicking a brilliant
Exhibit
goal.
A.
I know, that body. But I tell you what, he could be the X factor. Come finals.
Quentin Narkle's got that covered.
I have not got Narkle in my best 22. Not yet. I hope he plays. I hope he plays before the season's out.
Plays? We play next week. Angus told me.
Okay. Well, you might be right, but I haven't got him there yet.
No, there's two spots, clearly, I think we both agree, in the 22. There's two spots that are really up for grabs. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think Henry, Scott Selwood and Guthrie are locks on the bench. I would have thought the forward pocket we've debated and the other bench spot.
Yep. And then the unknown of how well Harry comes back and how well Henderson comes back from injury. Absolutely. Listeners out there, we love a bit of feedback, whether constructive or positive. Send it in. What are your thoughts on our best 22s to this point, all being well and all assuming the injuries are okay and Nakia Cockatoo is back in full flight. Please send it in. We'd love to hear. And next week we might go back over the best 22.
Yeah,
and we'll touch on it throughout.
We might
the year.
Ask our co-panelist his thoughts.
Would have been good to get Zach's thoughts, but
he'd sit on the fence though.
He doesn't have a lot of commitment. Okay, good. You've answered the review very well, Scotty.
Thank you.
Well done this week. I thought we've held up our end of the bargain. Zach, if you're listening out there,
of course he's listening.
You're enjoying yourself in Noosa. I'm glad that we could cover you again. Look forward to seeing you next week if he decides to turn up and join us again.
It'll be addressed at management.
It will be. The Bulldogs after the bye, the Swans, the Crows, Melbourne. There's a big run of games for the Cats. The Melbourne game back here at GMHBA Stadium on Saturday night, which I'm pumped. I'll be working at as with Channel 7, so that'll be a huge one. But plenty more games before we get to that point. Scotty, enjoy. What do you do on bye week? Now,
nothing.
We
I
don't
just,
have byes, do
no,
we?
No, I just keep churning out the gold. That's what we do.
Can you
in
give
this
us a little whisper on your whisper this week in your column? Have you got any
whisper on which one?
You know your little whisper you put at the bottom there. Have you got a little nugget for
not
us?
Not that
before
I
we
can
leave?
Reveal. Have I? Have I got a good one about you or one of your media types misbehaving?
Oh,
don't think I have.
Those. Okay.
Channel 7. How's it going? They're all happy commentators in there.
Yeah, always.
Okay, always. We better wrap it up then, unless I drop a bit of gold.
Thank you for listening. Enjoy whatever you get up to on the weekend when there's no football on. The AFL, the VFL, and the VFLW have got a bye. There's plenty of local
country
for you to watch.
Football.
Yes, watch. I think St. Joey's, St. Mary's sitting on top Colac, of the GFL
go down
ladder.
And watch them.
Go
they're
watch
high
the
up
Colac
in
boys.
Barman Heads, they're killing it.
They're flying, aren't they, Barman Heads? Yeah, plenty of local footy to watch, and I'm sure plenty of AFL still to take note of. We will be back again next week. Zach will be back with us next week. As always, thank you for listening.